If you have looked at your bulletin, as I know some have, they've already talked to me about the subject of this sermon. Had a couple of ladies say if they'd known what it's going to be, they wouldn't be here. That's all right. I didn't tell them it was going to be because I knew they'd be here. Because next week we're going to talk about the husbands, and I know they'll have their husbands. I started this time with the particular hymn we just sang, stand up for Jesus. Because the responsibility of husbands and wives is to stand up for Jesus. The family is a portrait of this world. The husband is representative of what God's position is in this world. The wife is the representative of what the believer is in this world. We need to, everyone, recognize that. We need to stand up and stand up for Jesus. We need to go out into the community and be salt and light. We need to be showing people what it means to be Christians. I think these next two sermons, we talked about submission in general last week. I think these two sermons will bring it more down to where you really live your life. So if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, our text this morning will be verses 22 through 24. But we're going to read the whole section, 22 through 33. Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. Would you give ear to the reading of God's Word? Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Amen.
May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, we come to your word. We come to an area of your word that is hard. For it is hard for us to accept such direction. It is only by grace that we can do it. So we ask you to pour out your grace upon us. Help us, Father, to hear your word, to hear your truth. Help us to take it and apply it in our lives, that we might be better witnesses for you. For it is in Christ's name we ask. Amen. Last week we began talking about submission. We saw that submission was the duty of every believer. They are to submit to God, to the government, to church leaders, and then to one another. This is one of the hardest things for men to do. No one likes to be in submission to anyone. But this is the call of Christianity. You come before a holy God. You come to acknowledge your sin, to acknowledge your rebellion, to confess your failure, to love and honor Him with all of your being. You must humble yourself. You must admit you cannot save yourself. You must come to Him with empty hands and bowed knees. Nothing short of the understanding of your total helplessness before Him will do. You must come in total dependence on His grace and His grace alone. You must come in complete submission to his will. This is indeed a hard teaching. It's hard enough when you're speaking about it in generalities, but when you start taking it and applying it personally, it even gets harder. It gets harder and harder as you make closer and closer application to your own life. Paul began with a very broad statement, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. If you love Jesus Christ, if you appreciate what he has done for you, then you should show a great deal of respect for everyone that acknowledges the same thing in their life. In this section, he begins to show how this works in different people's lives. In this nation, it has become to the point that in relationships, everyone is so concerned with their own rights until responsibility has really become a nasty word. The scripture does not talk very much about the rights of men. It deals mostly with the responsibility to God and then to one another. The first one Paul brings to light as he begins this section is the responsibility of wives. Some people have said Paul was a woman hater. They try to use that against him. They base that on the fact that he placed demands on the role women were to fulfill in God's economy. They say he sees women as second-class citizens. And thus they write off his commands on the subject as being prejudicial. Let me assure you as we begin, this is not true. It's absolutely false. Paul has a great love. He has a great appreciation for the weaker sex. He saw them as a provision from God as helpmates. He honored and respected them in every sense of the word. He commanded men to treat them with respect. Many women worked with Paul in his missionary efforts. He honors them as saints at the end of a number of his letters. One thing you need to remember is that women were not treated with honor and respect before Christ. In the New Testament, it is the teaching that comes from the New Testament that places women in a place of honor and calls for them to be respected. It is the spread of the Christian faith that freed women from the role of slave and gave them a place of dignity in society. The feminist movement today is making a terrible mistake in pushing for the equality of women in every area of life. The reason I say this is a mistake is because in the Christian understanding of things, it will bring them to an upside-down situation. Once equality is established, the law of the strong ruling the weak will be reapplied, and women will once again come under slavery. Let us examine this under the guidance of the Word of God. First, we shall study the duty Paul lays down for the wife. Second, we will look at the reason he institutes this duty. And last, we shall uncover the example he gives as to why this should be. Paul doesn't beat around the bush about much of anything, and he certainly doesn't do it here. He comes on very strong and very clear. Verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. As we begin this, you should remember, marriage was the first institution ordained by God. No institution on earth can claim a more sacred place than the family. There is none more basic. As goes the moral and religious status of the family, so goes society in general. The relationship between husband and wife is the glue that holds societies together. When marriages fail, families fail. When families fail, societies crumble and anarchy takes over. The reason for that is found in one little word, the word order. Order for a society begins at home. God created man and placed him in charge of all of his creation. After Adam had named all the animals, it was found that there wasn't a suitable mate for him. So God took one of his ribs and made him a mate. The name given his mate was Isha, which was derived from man's name Ish. It means out of man. The woman was taken out of the man. She was created for a special purpose and a special place. She was created to help complete man and to stand alongside of him in the journey God called him to. This does not make the woman a second-class citizen in any way. She was as much a part of the plan as was man. She holds equality as equally as important a role in life as does the man. It takes two, man and woman, to make a family. This was all a part of God's plan, that the two would come together to make one complete unit. You cannot have a viable growing family without both. Paul points out that both are equal in their standing before God. Listen to Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The standing of women before God is the same as that of men. We're all sinners. Those saved, be they men or women, are saved by grace through faith in Christ and in Christ alone. The thing that makes this so hard for many is the preconceived idea that order equates to worth. The world believes the more important someone's position, the more worth they have. Therefore, when Scripture calls for the wife to submit to her husband, it's automatically seen as making her less valuable than him. This is not true. In fact, it's really upside down to what Christ taught. Listen to Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus explains. Gentiles see those in authority as more worthy. And because of this, they lord it over those under them. In third world countries, women are treated terribly because men are seen as the only one with any worth. In many societies, women are but chattel. This is one of the dangers in Islam. It gives no worth to women. It treats them as property. It deprives them of their God-given joys of life. Jesus says this is not the way it is in Christianity. He says the person that has the position of authority has to become the servant of those he rules. He also says those who are given preeminence in a relationship become the slaves to those under them. This was and is an extremely radical teaching. This is upside down to the way the world sees things. When we apply this to Paul's command for women to submit to their husbands, it comes out this way. Wives, submit to your husbands so they can serve and provide for you. Honor them because they dedicate their lives to your well-being and protection. It is precisely this idea that lifted women from the status of chattel to a position of honor and respect in the human race. Please, this idea of submission is not a terrible mistake by God. It's a blessing. A blessing to his whole creation. Listen to 1 Peter. Turn over there. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 18. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 18. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. He continues this in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without talk by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Now, please understand, you go to a modern day marriage counselor, this isn't what you're going to hear. Peter is saying, you have to all submit unto the authorities that are placed over you. He even tells slaves to submit to their masters, even to those who treat them harshly. He continues telling wives, it's the same with you. You must submit to your husband, even if he's cruel. Use this as an opportunity to show him the love of Jesus Christ through your submission. Now, there's one caveat we have to put in here. I believe when a man gets to the point he's beaten his wife to the point she's in danger of being killed, the authorities have to step in and something has to be done. That was, some theologians say, was the reason that Moses gave them the right to divorce in the beginning. It was because if they didn't let him write a bill of divorcement and divorce the woman, that they'd just kill her. So he gave that right. So that has to be dealt with. That's for another sermon. Ladies, understand. This is why Scripture counsels you to marry only believers. It is only the man who believes and trusts in Jesus Christ that can understand the proper way in which to serve his wife. Men, it is only the woman who knows Christ as her Savior that can properly submit to you as her husband. This call to submission for wives is submission to your own husband, and it is submission in the vein, same vein as your call to submit unto the Lord. Therefore, if your husband asks you to do something contrary to God's law, you must respectfully decline. As a believer, you must obey God rather than men. Yet, you must respect the order that God has established. He has not said women are inferior to men. You won't find that in Scripture anywhere. He has simply said he wants men to shoulder the greater responsibility in the family. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. This is a direct command. It's a command of Scripture. Any woman who believes and trusts in Jesus Christ has to take this command to heart, and she has to fulfill it to the best of her ability. There's a reason for this command. Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now this all comes back to the order of things. God has established through order of creation the man is the head of the home. The husband is the head. He's the one given the responsibility to provide for the care and protection of his family. The Scripture never shows the one giving authority is more valuable than those he is over. Responsibility in the Scripture makes the person with it stand to a stronger standard. Listen to James 3:1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Everyone given authority over others is going to be judged more sternly. One point that needs to be made is that we are all called to be in submission to someone. There's no one out there that's not under the authority of someone else. The Scripture says, submit unto one another, so it is sometimes it is something that all people, all men and women, have to learn. We have to deal with it. Submission is not a dirty word. And you should look at it that way. You are called to submit unto God. If you don't submit to God, then you are in submission to Satan. You can't escape it. It's one or the other. It's a fact of life. Women, while called to submit to the head of the family, father or husband, are also called to a position of authority over the children in the home. It is women that were given the privilege of bringing children into this world. It is the mother that nurses and cares for the child and teaches them much of what they learn. Believe me, when I tell you she is being held to a very high standard, and she will be judged according to how well she carries out that duty. This call to submission before her husband, that's not a put down. It's an offer of grace, and mercy that removes from her some of the terrible load of life. Paul makes a comparison with Christ as the head of the church and as Savior. The husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. As head and Savior of the church, Christ offers grace. He came to do for His people what they could not do for themselves. The work of salvation is removed from your back because of Christ. You will no longer be under the covenant of works. You will be free to do what you were created to do, be a witness for God. The husband is called to provide for his wife so she can have children, and she can do it without guilt. Without a husband, she's guilty of fornication. The husband gives her salvation in childbirth, which is what Paul tells you in 1 Timothy 2:15. She is saved through childbirth. Saved from that guilt because she's married to the man. Wives are not to sit at home doing nothing either. In Proverbs 31, you will find wives in Scripture were very busy. She's busy buying material to make the clothes that keep her family warm in the winter. She buys the food and oversees its preparation. She speaks words of wisdom. She watches over her affairs, the affairs of her household. She is never idle, and her children call her blessed, and her husband honors her. Why? Why do they call her blessed? Why do they honor her? Because she makes things work. She is an indispensable part of the family. Ladies, understand this. There is nothing second class about fulfilling the role God created you for. This is a very important role. The whole future of the human race rides on how well you carry out your duties. You were created to fulfill your husband, to make him whole. How do you do that? By coming in submission to him, giving yourself to him. In both a physical, emotional, and spiritual sense. You give yourself that children may be born. You give yourself that they may be nurtured. You give yourself that they may learn and grow into adults prepared to go out into life and fill the same role you and your mate have filled. You do this first in submission to your God and then in submission to your husband, who is the head of your family. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you this is going to be easy. That'd make me a liar. It is not easy. For coming in submission to anyone or anything is not easy for fallen human beings. In the garden, Adam let Eve down. He failed to intercede. He failed to stop her from making a terrible mistake. Genesis 3:6 says, Adam was with her when Satan deceived her. God, in His judgment against them both, took the sins of the garden and made them a part of their fallen natures. Eve was told in Genesis 3:16, your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. This means the unregenerate woman will always be seeking to subvert her husband's authority. She wants his place. She will always desire to have his place, and the unregenerate husband will always react with his strength to try and stop her. He will become a tyrant. This is the case in the marriage of the unregenerate. It must not be the case in Christian marriages. Through Jesus Christ, the man and woman are given grace to obey God. It is only by grace that ladies can submit unto their husbands. And it is only by grace that husbands can lead their wives with love. You must understand. Wives do not in and of themselves have the strength to submit as God commanded. Just as you don't have the strength to submit to one another, to the government or to God on your own. All men and women depend on the grace of God to give them the strength to obey God's word. Now I hope you'll keep in mind the reason for this call to submission. This call was given to establish order in a chaotic world. Sin destroys order. Sin makes people slaves to passion. Sin drives them away from one another. Order overrides passion. It establishes relationships of strength and perseverance. Paul gives the most convincing example of this in verse 24. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Jesus is the head of the church. I want you to listen to these words from the preface to the book of Church Order. Jesus Christ, upon whose shoulders the government rests, whose name is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of whose government and peace there shall be no end, who sits upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. It goes on to show who this Jesus is. It shows he has been given all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. It speaks of his being raised from the dead, of being placed at the Father's right hand and placed over all of the principalities and powers. He is the head over all things. It is his fullness that fills this earth. He has been the one who did for you everything needed for your salvation. He shows that you can fill the place he has given you in the family and in society. It is through him and through him alone that you can submit, because you understand your submission in the end is to him. This is what the scriptures say about Christ as the head of the church. It is the head that provides for all the needs of the body. Jesus takes on the responsibility of seeing that these needs are met. He came and lived a perfect life you could never live. He died the atoning death necessary for your salvation. He won the victory over the enemies of God, over the forces of evil that were holding you in slavery. He freed you from the clutches of Satan. He destroyed the power of the grave and darkness. He gave to you life and life abundantly. What does he ask of those whom he has saved? He asks of you your love. He asks of you your obedience. He calls you to submit yourself to his love and allow him to lead you into the abundance of this wonderful life he has won on your behalf. Please remember the words of the Apostle John, found in 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. This is the example he gives to you wives. Your husband is to love you, and your love is to be a love of response. He's supposed to love you the most. He's supposed to work at making his love greater than yours every day. You are to respond to his efforts. That's the type of love you have. The same type of love we have for Christ. Just as the believer's love is a love of response, so the wife's is. Love is a commitment. It's not some warm, fuzzy feeling that makes your toes curl up. I don't care what the movies say. Listen to 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. This is exactly what wives are called to do. To give up their lives for their husbands. This is not what he calls all believers. Is this what he calls all believers to do? Give up our lives for him? Listen to Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. You're to give up your own wants. You're to give up your own desires to go out and fulfill the call of God on your life. You're to stop seeking your own pleasures through lust and greed. You're to live your life according to the Word of God. I can tell you a little bit about the struggle this can cause. I was called to the ministry from a very secure place, a very good job, a home that was paid for. In one sense of the word, it's a very hard decision to make. But in another, because of my love for Christ, it was easy. It was hard for Sharon to lose all her security, to give up so many of the things she loved, to enter a phase of life with nothing more than faith and trust for security. Yet because of our love for Christ, we couldn't refuse to do it. Sharon was willing to follow me where the Lord called. She was willing because she had accepted my commitment to her, and she trusted my commitment to Christ. I can testify to you this day. I think I have the most wonderful wife God ever gave a man. Is this not what God calls each believer to do? To accept His commitment of love to them through Jesus Christ? Wives, you are a reflection of the believer in the world. A reflection of the one who by faith believes in Jesus Christ and places his eternal well-being in those invisible nail-scarred hands. Yes, it is an act of faith. And it is also an act of faith to trust your husband. You are called to become his helpmate, to sacrifice your own desires in order to help him be all God has called him to be. When you do this, you receive a great reward, a reward of honor and respect. And you also find a satisfaction in having been what God created you to be, a loving and supportive helpmate. To be what God calls you to be is the greatest blessing you can be to others. In fact, there will be no blessing without submission to God's will. The wife who submits to her husband as to the Lord, the mother who loves and teaches her children, the husband who honors and respects his wife, the children who obey and honor their parents, the employee who works hard, the employer who is generous and fair, all bring joy to others. Is there anything in this world that you take a higher priority in your life than being what God calls you to be? I don't think there is. Everyone in these relationships is based on submission. Of course, you can't begin to properly submit in any of them until you have submitted yourself unto God. Does there seem to be an emptiness in your life this morning? An emptiness that nothing seems to be able to fill? That emptiness is caused by the absence of true spiritual life. How can you fill it? How can you find the fullness that you desire? You come to Jesus Christ. You come acknowledging your sinful estate, acknowledging your total hopeless condition. You call out to Him, bowing your knee and confessing with your tongue that He is your Lord. He is your only hope. For everyone who does this, does it with a true heartfelt sorrow, He will hear and He will make alive. He will come into your heart and fill you with His Holy Spirit. What does He ask of you in return for all of this wonderful grace? Here's the most amazing thing of the whole story. He asks only that you show Him your love through your submission to His Word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, you're a gracious and merciful God. You have given to us some hard things to do, but you also have promised to provide the grace to help us do them. Minister now in each heart here, Father. Help them to stop and look at their own lives, to see where the rebellion is, and to deal with it, and to come and submit under the guidance of your word. For it is in Christ's name we ask. Amen.